And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
It's February, a month where we celebrate the holiday of love, Valentine's Day. The interesting thing is when people truly care about you, they will go out of their way to support you, to love you and care for you, but not only for you, but also for your business, your career, and your family. On today's episode, my friend Felicity and I are going to discuss love and wealth, building lasting relationships, and financial prosperity. Felicity, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here with you today.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about this topic because most people, you know, they think of love and the whole Valentine's experience and relationships as one thing, and then wealth and prosperity as something different. And I love how we're going to put all those things together in one place. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about you and your story and how you got into doing this, how this really resonates with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am an osteopath by trade. So I have a history in medical sciences and biology. And as life took its course, I had my own runnings of difficulties in my personal life and also whilst I was growing my osteopathy business. And I did find there was a correlation between the two. So as a result, I myself was fortunate enough to be able to get mentoring by somebody who I admired on all things to do with love and all things to do with career moves. And as a result from that, I loved the work that we did together so much that I was offered an opportunity to train with that person and also start mentoring people. And that's what got me in the business of coaching and mentoring, specifically in the field of relationships and relationships and prosperity.
Excellent. So what do you see as the biggest difficulty that people have with the relationship part? Let's start there.
Absolutely. So the biggest difficulty I do find people having is the unharmonious side to the relationship. So a very disfragmented, either they're in a fractured relationship or they're unable to meet somebody and attract somebody who is the right fit for them and have a lasting relationship for them.
What are some of the blockages that people have in that area?
That's a great question. Some of the blockages which I find most people have is they feel that they want something, but yet they're looking at the past and they feel like they cannot have what they desire because of what has gone on in their past. And they're using the past as a benchmark to determine whether what they can have in the future will happen or not.
That is a beautiful answer because I see that a lot in any area of life. People tend to spend time in their past, and really the past has already happened. So let's move on. Let's move from that. And when we're trying to start a new future, I believe personally that what we have is the present moment. We have to live in that present moment. We have to be present with ourselves and learn to be present with others because it's when we're present with others, that's when we start to feel that connection. And when we feel that, a lot of times that is where the magic starts to happen, especially when it comes to relationships. If we're looking to, you know, meet people and to find that person for us. And personally, I don't believe that there's just one person. I think that puts too much pressure on not only you, but on them, right? To be the one soulmate that satisfies you. But at the same time, you know, there are a lot of people out there, and the more we get to know people at a deeper level, and the only way we can do that, going back to what you said, is to stay out of the past. You know, don't start comparing all your other, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, relationships, whatever, with this person in front of you. Start getting to know them as the person they really are. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love what you said about, it's a lot of pressure to put on one person in order to fulfill all the needs of somebody in a relationship. Because today we are looking at a partner, a romantic partner, to fulfill all the needs in our life, to be a friend, to be a lover, to be a spouse, to be everything it is, everything it is. And in the olden days, what we would get out of a village, we're now asking out of one person. So that's a lot
Yes.
of pressure. Or just on one person. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, you're putting too much pressure on that person. And I think that's ha that happens. That's why a lot of relationships kind of start to fall apart because we're putting too much pressure on that. I know a lot of people that have gone through this where they depend on the partner for their happiness. You know, it's up to you to make me happy. And if I'm not happy, it's your fault. So I'm getting out of the relationship. I think we have to realize that, you know, it's two people working together, coming together. And I think the idea, one of the things I've talked about this before, people who listen to the podcast have probably heard me say this before, but one of the things that drives me crazy, have you seen the movie Jerry Maguire? It's with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger, and he says that line, "You complete me." And I just want to smack him upside the head because when you tell someone that you complete me, no, it's two people are completed human beings. And unless you are a completed human being, you really shouldn't be in a relationship. Fix yourself first, and then two complete people, they meet, they feel that connection between them. They find that common ground that they have and their differences, and they walk along that same path together in life. And that's how they can both help each other grow, which is a perfect way to lead into the prosperity aspect of all this. But what do you think of that analogy so far?
That's a wonderful analogy. And it's definitely two wholes coming together, two wholes. Because if you're not completed, then you're basically asking somebody else to fill up your cup. And that cup is never going to be full if it's going from, if you've got your lens on the exterior, on the external. It has to come from within. Otherwise, you're never going to, somebody will never be satisfied.
They'll never be satisfied. Exactly. Now we found a person, we're in a relationship, and we want to build that relationship to be a lasting one, but then we also want to build that financial prosperity. So how does that come in? You know, I mentioned at the beginning that if people really love and support you, that they'll not only support you, but they will support your career and your business. You know, I think that is true because you don't want to be with somebody who doesn't support you and your career. I mean, I think that happens a lot in relationships where one of the partners is spending too much time at the office, that kind of thing. But where does the tie-in, where's that link between lasting relationships and financial prosperity, where everything kind of comes together?
That's a really great question. Well, first of all, I would look at the relationship not only in the romantic sense with the person, but also the relationship one has with money, because that's a relationship as well in itself. So when we're talking about relationships, we're talking about romantic relationships, but we're talking about all sorts of relationships. And the relationship with money and with prosperity and with abundance has a very different nature for most people than the one with their romantic partner. So there is a link between the two, because the energy in order to make a romantic relationship be very fruitful and for it to work and to be successful is the same energy which is required with a bit of fine tweaking in the financial aspect. But one of the
Interesting.
things the most important within couples is if one is looking to pick a lifelong partner, at least make sure that your values and your goals are aligned long term. That your values and your goals are aligned long term. And what is that person's relationship with money? Does it correspond with yours? And how do they spend money? How do they interact with money? What are their spending styles? Just like in love, we have attachment styles. We do. We have love languages and attachment styles. In money, it's the same. There are attachment styles with money, and there are spending styles as well. So the first thing I would say to somebody is get very clear on what yours is with regards to money and start also looking at your potential partner's spending style and attachment with money and look at where those values align. Because then we can start talking about creating greater investments as a couple, If, say, one person doesn't want to buy a home and the other wants to rent, or the other one does want to buy a home, then we've got a discrepancy. If one is a big spender and the other one is a big saver, there's going to be a discrepancy. So, first of all, let's have a look at those values and their goals and see if they align.
I think that comes down to having strong communication, because a lot of times when you first get into a relationship, I think, there's this thing of attraction, and then there's love, and they're really two different things. We can become attracted to someone who's not a good match for us. Anyway, I've had that happen, and you hear stories about that. But then there's that person who's a much better match, and I think that whole communication, talking about, is one person a spender and the other person a saver? Does one person live, maxed out on all their credit cards, and then the other person tries to, put away money and save for the future? And, that partnership is going to butt heads. There's no doubt about it. So you need to be on the same page, or at least close, I think. And if you want to start building that prosperity, it sounds like it's really all about finding the right partner that has a lot of your same values, and not only personal values, but financial values. And there are financial values. There are money personalities. I did a whole podcast episode not too long ago on money personalities, and everyone has a different personality based upon how they were, where they were born, how they were born, and how they were brought up. And, some people are givers. Some people just love to give. That their money personality is, if they can, they want to make money so they can give it. Well, if you're with someone who is not a giver, then there's going to be conflict. In my own life, I'll share this with you, Felicity. When I was married, I'm divorced now, but when I first got married, my ex-wife, she was terrible at writing things down and keeping a checkbook. And we had a joint bank account when we first got married. And what would happen would be she would go to the store and, use the ATM card, or, to debit card to pay for the groceries, and or go to the bank and take money out of the bank. But she wouldn't write any of it down, and she wouldn't tell me that, oh, I just went and spent, $75 at the grocery store, and then I'm out paying bills, and all of a sudden my checks are bouncing, and I'm going, wait a minute, my checkbook says I have X money in the bank. So long story short, we decided, okay, separate accounts. Because she said, well, why don't you just go to the ATM and check the balance? This is before we did online banking. And I said, well, because I know what's my balance. I just have to look at my checkbook. It tells me how much is in my account. So if you're not giving me that information. So again, we had, the way we worked with money, we had two different personalities. We had two different ideas. And, we were able to come up with a compromise, which was having two separate accounts. But, it's important that those things are talked about.
Absolutely. And you're spot on with the communication, with everything. And what I would also say is when two people are getting to know each other, when they're really looking to, when they're in the early stages of maybe dating or they're in a relationship, those are the kinds of conversations people need to have very early on in the season of their relationship. So he's getting sort of 2 years on the line and then starting to broach the subject. And I think this is broaching the financial personalities, and I love the way you put that, is something which is so important, but yet in many couples, I see it's still taboo. Even in our Western culture, it's still taboo. And that's the crazy part. And I would say, come into a relationship, start having those conversations early on, and the whole relationship is going to take a different dynamic. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. If you have those conversations early on, that will definitely make the relationship take a different dynamic, because the communication is there. And I think that happens in every aspect of life, not just your finances. You mentioned before, does somebody want to buy a house? Does somebody want to rent? That's a completely different lifestyle. And then where does somebody want to live? Is someone looking to live in like a suburban area, or closer to a higher population, or does somebody want to live in the country? These are all conversations that we have to have. And if we want the relationship to last and get the financial prosperity from that relationship, we have to have those conversations. I'm picking up that those two things go hand in hand, right? Love and wealth. But the lasting relationship part, if you've had the conversations and you've had good communication skills, the relationship will have a better chance at being a lasting one. And at the same time, it'll also be more likely to have better finances if you both have the same outlook.
And we're talking about deeper layers of communication here. I mean, we're not going surface level. We're really talking about getting into the nitty-gritty of a relationship. So there's going to be some level of commitment somewhere down the line. And I think nowadays, especially in the early dating stages and even mid-level dating, people tend to shy away from those sorts of discussions. I remember with some of my clients, even text messaging is a topic within couples. So we're going beyond that because that's very surface level stuff, whether we should text each other, how often. These conversations which we're talking about, they need to be addressed very, very quickly. And the couple, the two people need to be very comfortable in each other's company in order to have that level of communication. And if there's a bit of resistance, if there's a bit of taboo there, it means that the relationship itself is not yet as comfortable as it should be.
Exactly. I love you brought up the texting because a lot of people were used to communicating now with the whole texting, but personally, you're leaving out so much of communication. Most communication is not the actual words. It's the nonverbal things that you pick up. It's the tone of voice. It's the way the things are said. It's the body language. So the best conversations, when you have a serious conversation, it should be one-on-one, face-to-face. And I truly believe that because you can misunderstand someone even in a phone call, but especially on texting, because you put the inflections on the wrong word and it changes the whole meaning of the conversation. And I've had conversations with friends. I've had some female friends, and we'll all of a sudden start to get into a little, I don't want to say argument, but there'll definitely be a disagreement there. And they'll start to take it a different way. And so I'll say, look, let's get off texting. Let's get on the phone, or let's have this conversation in person because I think we're misunderstanding each other based upon the texting. And so I think that's great that you brought that up. I mean, texting is a wonderful thing, but yet it can also be a curse.
And we need to know where to put it in its place because nowadays people tend to put it at the CEO of communication. And it's not the CEO of communication. It's there for a reason. It's wonderful, as you mentioned. It's got its place in our modern daily lives, but it should never be the CEO of a relationship and the communication in a relationship.
Are relationships fixable? That's the next question I have. Can you fix a broken relationship?
I love this question. I love this question because I'm one of the people in this world who's going to say yes. I do believe that just like a bone can get fractured and get healed and can be stronger, a relationship which is fractured with two parties that are willing and that do the work and have the connection, it can be healed. It will be a slightly different version of the original relationship, depending on what's happened, but it will take on a new dynamic and a new energy.
Interesting.
Caveat to that the two people need to be on board and both need to want it as much as each other.
Absolutely. They both do. Yeah, it's a give and take. Are there any deal breakers when it comes to a relationship?
That's also a really good question. Well, I think that the deal breakers comes with the person, the individual person. If the person says has certain values which just cannot be accepted, for example, I'm going to give you the classic example, cheating. All right. I have met people along the way that for them cheating was an absolute deal breaker. That if their spouse were to cheat on them, that would be it. And I've met other people where it would be a deal breaker, but if the two were willing to work together, then it could well evolve into a new relationship. I think that really comes down to the individual and what they actually imprint on themselves as being a deal breaker.
Yes.
That answered the question.
Yeah, I totally see that because, I mean, that's something that, I mean, there are some relationships I hear of these people having these open relationships where they say, you can go out and do whatever you want, but we'll come back together. And I'm going, I don't understand how that works because there's always going to be, it's the whole like friends with benefits thing, I guess. There's just a dynamic there. And I think once that's lost, there's always going to be that wedge between you and that person. So, just like you said, if it's a committed relationship and the cheating happens, then both parties have to be totally committed. And now I tend to find, and I don't mean to be putting things into simplicity here, but I tend to find that if there's cheating in a relationship, if it's the man who's the cheater, the statistics show that the woman sometimes is willing to forgive more than the other way around. And what I believe the reason is because if a man cheats, a lot of times it's for his own ego. Maybe he's getting older and he feels that he's not as desired. So then he goes out and finds like a younger woman, and it's all about the sex. It's all about that, the physical relationship. It's all about making him feel good. But when a woman usually cheats, it's usually because, and again, I don't mean to be generic here, because both parties can cheat for any reason. I mean, a woman can cheat for the same reason that I just said a man, for that finding value and whatever. But they're usually looking for that connection, and that's missing, that communication. So there's a stronger bond usually between the woman, the female partner, and the lover. Does that make sense? So that makes it harder, because if there's an emotional connection, if there's an emotional connection, so if the party is just cheating and there's no emotional connection, then it's easier for them to move forward, I think. But still, I think it's really important that there be a strong communication between the two of them. What is the goal? Is it the goal to fix this relationship, or is the goal maybe to move on? Because what is the core reason for the cheating? You have to look at that too, because the cheating is just a symptom of the relationship. Does that all make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. And also, we have to understand what is the intention, as you quite rightly said, behind the cheating. But also, we're tapping into the reptilian brain here as well. In the old, in the caveman times, in the olden days, what the man, he needed to go out and sow his oats, so as to speak, because he didn't know if his descendants were going to survive. And he had to impregnate as many women as possible, whereas the women had a very different role in that aspect. And a fun fact about men and women, physiologically, there is a huge difference, physiologically, in the sense that a woman, when she has a sexual connection with a man, she's more likely to release oxytocin, which is the connection and the bonding type hormone. Whereas a man will only release that only when he's in love. So if he's cheating and he's not in love with his the person he's having an affair with, that oxytocin is not going to be released in his system. Whereas,
Interesting.
said, a woman, if she's having an affair with someone else, there is going to be a connection part of the, because women tend to connect a lot more, so they're going to have more likely a behavioral pattern where if they are going to have a sexual relationship, it's because they have that connection and the oxytocin is flowing through her a lot more.
Got it. That makes perfect sense. And you explained it really well. I think that whole oxytocin is huge. I find that having conversations with someone, if there's a strong understanding and someone feels that they're listened to, that will release oxytocin. Having good communication, I think, is the key to building that lasting relationship. So, we talked about communication, and we talked about having the same values. Is there anything else that you see as a key to a lasting relationship besides those few things that we've talked about?
Absolutely. We live in a society where, for some people, for example, religion is very important, family is very important. There are certain values which are very important. So I have definitely, especially also here in the West, met people and mentored people who would only want to be with somebody within their religion. And we're talking even Christian religions here. We're not talking about any other religion which may exist in other parts of the world. So it's very interesting to see that there are individuals out there who still may want to be with somebody who has the same religious values as them because they feel that they'd be able to have a more cohesive family life as a result. So
I
there's
think
that aspect which definitely comes into play a lot.
that's very true, especially when it comes to things like, you mentioned religion and going to church together. I mean, that is something that will bond a family together. They all get up and they go to church together. Whereas if someone isn't going, then I think resentment gets built up. Even if it's unspoken, those things that are unspoken are what will build up with time, and then all of a sudden there's a problem, and the other partner didn't know there was a problem because the other partner didn't speak, if that makes sense. And then there's the other thing of assumptions. We assume, because we feel a certain way, that our partner's going to feel a certain way, and they may process things differently in the world. Recently, I had a situation. I've talked about this before too, where I was helping a client. He was trying to build his business and he was having a lot of trouble, struggling. He didn't know where to go. He needed to get himself more organized. And, I took him on as like a business client because I do personal and business coaching. He was also having trouble in his marriage, which of course at the time I didn't know, but it's kind of an assumption because he's spending all his time in the office and he's coming home and he's frustrated and he's upset and he's not communicating with his partner and his family. So his family life is not going well. And what I didn't know is he was almost on the verge of divorce because there was a communication breakdown. Well, fortunately, I worked with him, and after a little over a month, I got a phone call from his wife. And his wife wanted to buy me like a gift card for my favorite restaurant, buy me a gift, because she said that since he had been working with me, their relationship had become so much stronger because he was realizing and he was starting to learn how to prioritize things in his life. And he realized that his family and his marriage, he was not keeping them at a high priority. He was spending so much time worrying about his business. Again, tying the financial prosperity and the lasting relationship together. It's all really, I mean, this whole thing about communicating with each other and having these conversations, even if they're hard conversations that you don't want to have, you have to be able to sit down and do that. And you don't want to assume that the other partner knows the same thing that you know. You have to actually come right out and tell them.
I 100% agree. And there's something very, very powerful in hearing your own voice expressing something, how you feel to your partner, because you're reaffirming it and your partner is hearing it and you're actually putting it out when there's something very powerful about the spoken voice. And I think we have a voice for a reason. We were
Yes.
given a voice for a reason and we don't use it enough. We don't use it enough for the right reasons. And communication is by far the most important thing. In it's part of the deal of being a human is having great communication with each other, which creates great relationships. And if we're not good with our voice, then 80% of communication is nonverbal anyway, in which case we can compensate through something else. Again, it would be interesting is that with people, especially with men, because men tend to have a little bit more trouble having the verbal type communication. This is very generic, of course. Whereas women tend to be more, much more vocal and be much more interactive vocally. Well, as a man, I'd say it's very interesting to understand how one would like to be communicated with, because that will give an indication on how one likes to communicate.
Yes, that's really, really important. Tell the person how you like to be communicated with, because they're not going to know. They're going to assume it's the same way as they would want to be communicated with, and it's not always the same. The other thing that I see is men are natural fixers. We want to fix problems. So when the wife comes home from work and starts telling about her day, and all the hard things that she went through that day, he's going to respond and say, "Oh, well, why didn't you do this? Or next time you can do this." But she doesn't want him to fix it. She just wants him to be present and listen. And I think that is a skill. And it took me, as a guy, it took me a long time to learn that. And I still sometimes struggle with it because, even as a coach and as someone who works with people, I want to tell them, "Oh, why don't you just do this?" Because I see it, but they don't. But sometimes it's better to let them see it for themselves. And that's something that I've learned in my coaching, but it also is something in a relationship too. Let the other person realize it for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's beautiful what you just said, because although women want to be listened to and men want to fix, there's one common denominator between the two in my books, and that is both are looking for connection with the other. So even when a man is trying to fix, he's still engaging in the connection with his partner.
Connection is the key to relationship. It's usually the key in the beginning too, because sometimes, you can be out there talking to people and it's nothing at all. And all of a sudden you'll have this conversation and you'll just feel that click right here, like in your solar plexus, and you'll know that there's a connection. And I talk about there's a warmth of that connection. It's almost like a cord of light between two people. And when you feel that, And that usually happens in the beginning. But what we don't realize is that connection is still there. Sometimes we just have to pause and realize that it's there and begin to focus on it. And when we get into these arguments and we have these disagreements, let's bring it back to that original connection, why we're together in the first place.
And also, most of the arguments that couples have had last year, they don't remember anyway.
Good
So
point. Well, sometimes I have to.
it depends on what the argument's about.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because I do find that some women in my life, they have a like a filing card system where they remember the conversation that you had, on December 14th, 2018. We had this conversation, and you said this to this, and you're going, what? But before we wind things down a little bit, I just want to ask a couple questions because I know we have different people at different stages of relationships listening right now. So first, let's speak to someone who's in a relationship where maybe there's a little bit of turmoil, maybe there's a little bit of uncertainty. What would you say to those people? What would be the steps that they could take to either fix the relationship or at least see if this is a relationship that they should be moving from?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. What I would say to that person who's going through the turmoil is, what is their long-term vision in a relationship? What is it? What is it that they want out of a relationship? Are they looking to get married? Are they looking for a partner long-term? What is their end goal? And does that align with the person they're with at the moment? Most of the people who are experiencing turmoil in their relationship may be down to the fact that they're just at different stages. One wants a long-term commitment and the other one isn't quite there yet or doesn't know. And that will translate into other arguments
Yeah.
which are manifested as a result of that.
How about this, Felicity? We put these things down on paper. We have the one partner go into a room and write down on, a sheet of paper, and do this on a regular sheet of paper, pen to paper. Write down all their relationship goals, all their expectations, what they want in the relationship, what they want to obtain and what they want to give, and how they see the relationship, and have the other person go into another room and do the same thing, and maybe spend 15 minutes, at least a fair amount of time, maybe longer. And then when they're both done, come together and read each other's paper. That way, there's no, you're not sitting there talking to the person, you're not interrupting the other person. They're putting it all down on paper. And then a lot of times we may write something down and the other person will read it and they'll go, I didn't realize that. Sometimes you find more commonality when you do something like this, an exercise like this, than you would if you just had a conversation. Because again, when we have a conversation, we tend to interrupt rather than listen.
That's a really great exercise, and you're absolutely right because it also gives the person the space to also put down a lot more than they would necessarily in a conversation.
Yeah, and be honest, be completely honest. That's so important. What do you expect in the relationship? Yeah, I think that's something that I think we can both implement in our coaching. Just kind of came to me in our discussion. So that is with fixing or working with a current relationship. Now, what about that person out there who is maybe not in a relationship now and looking for one or wondering what they should do next? What would you recommend to someone who is who's out there and realizing that Valentine's Day is not Valentine's Day, it's Singleness Awareness Day?
That's a lovely way of putting it. What I would say to them is to stay away from the wanting of a relationship, because when we're looking to want something, we're coming from a place of lack and need. And chances are they're going to pull in somebody into their life who's not going to be the best fit for them if they're in that state. So to live their best life desiring a relationship, which means that they are not necessarily wanting it, because desiring and wanting are two different energies. Desiring it and being open to all forms of love, trusting that the best person for them will come into their life.
I love that. It's all about, not coming from a state of want. It's coming from a state of trust and knowing that that person is out there for you. I think the other thing is just knowing what you want. What I tend to tell people and Tell me if you agree with this or not. A lot of people write down the characteristics they want in the person, but I actually think it's more important to write down what you really want in the relationship. You know, for example, say, I want someone with a sense of humor. Well, what do you really want? You want fun. You want laughter. You know, I want someone who loves to travel. Well, what's the value in the relationship? Adventure. So you get into more of the deeper cores. So list out all the things that you want in the relationship, and what are the deal breakers if they don't have that? You say you want someone who's honest. Well, what does that mean? Well, you want loyalty, right?
You're absolutely right. And in all honesty, I do both. I do write down what you would require in a person and what you would require in a relationship,
Right.
because relationship is a dynamic between two people. It's a
Awesome.
two-way thing. It's not just you and the other person, it's a three-way thing. And obviously the deal breakers. But the two for me are fundamental and core to any person I will work with. What you'd like in a person and what you'd like in a relationship. And marry the two together and look at the similarities.
Felicity, if people were looking to reach out to you and hear how you could help them or just learn more about you, what would be the best way to do that?
Well, they can find me on Facebook. I have a group called Elite Love and Relationships. They can find me under my name, Felicity Steiner. That's Steiner. And they can also find me through my website, which is steinersuccesssolutions.com.
SteinerSuccessSolutions.com. That is awesome. And before we close out, I just want to ask you the question I ask all my guests on the show, and that is simply this: what does being purposely positive mean to you?
It's a beautiful question. Purposely positive for me would mean knowing how to live one's best life and making the decision to be only in a state of empowerment and joy, which means that when our mind defaults to anything negative, we've made that decision, we've decided to cut away from anything which is not bringing us pure joy.
Cut away from anything that is not bringing us pure joy. I love that. And that is a perfect way, to close out this episode. Build love and wealth, a lasting relationship. But what we really want from all of it is love and joy. Felicity, this has been awesome. I would love to continue the conversation sometime in the future and have you back on the show. But, I want to thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Tony. I've absolutely loved it. I've loved the exchange we've had together. I'd love to come back on the show. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there looking for more love and joy in your life and have an aha moment. I have a free resource for you. It's an ebook. It's called Strive to Thrive. You can download it at TonyWCoaching.com and start living a purposely positive life.